truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And speaking of it all, Michael, I mean, there are a number of lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans.
It's an interesting thing you do in politics.
Joining me now to talk about this and the nation's real problem of joblessness, the Reverend Al Sharpton.
As I was walking towards the scene, I just saw two women.
Did you really write this yourself with a typewriter?
My butt would be raw.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast with this groundbreaking presentation, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch on this show. And that's it. And I'll tell you what. We can find a lot of new and interesting ways to say the following phrase and make it seem like it's the most original thing in the world.
You know what the problem with the country is? Why, there's too many corrupt people.
Yes, that's right.
There's just too many corrupt people.
Oh, yeah. 877-876 is the 877-876-PHIL is our number here. And Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us from the Mountain Meadow Observatory that is in Colorado. And Dr. Tarner has been on our program before. The variety of questions involving the environment and more to the point, this question of global warming. And I don't want to upset the doctor. I don't mean to say question, Dr. Tarner. You understand that, right?
I understand that there is still a fair amount of skepticism among the American people. It was disappointing to see the numbers today that you were talking about.
Well, the numbers are these. The number of Americans, and this is from a poll conducted by the Pew Research Center, the number of Americans who believe there is solid evidence that the Earth is warming because of pollution is at its lowest point in 3 years, according to this survey that was released on Thursday. Now, this is a poll of 1,500 adults by the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press.
Well, that sounds very political, doesn't it?
Well, it does a little bit, but let's look at this. It says, they found that only 57% believe there's a strong scientific evidence that the Earth has gotten warmer over the past few decades, and as a result, people are viewing the problem as less serious, which is down from 77%. So that means, essentially, people who believe that global warming, man-made global warming, or any kind of global warming, being a serious problem is down 20% from 77%. It's down 20% over the last 3 years to 57%. This is the steepest drop in recent memory. The steepest drop occurred during the last year as Congress and the Obama administration have taken steps to control heat-trapping emissions for the first time. So what do you make of this? And I know that you've worked a long time on this question, and you worked with Vice President Gore. How do you feel now that the American people seem to be less prone to believe this?
Well, it's very disappointing information. If what that poll is saying is a fact, right now, when the United States Congress and President Obama have taken the most positive steps that have been taken by any American president since perhaps the 70s, when it comes to the environment, President Obama and the United States Congress taking steps to control emissions. And just as we're beginning to see the political foot move forward, suddenly the American people have issued a proclamation in the form of this poll of some level of disrespect for Vice President Gore. I don't know what it's from. I don't know if it's an Obama backlash. I suspect that it is, but for those of us who've worked long and hard on the question of global warming being man-made and being a very imminent danger to all of us, you heard what Gordon Brown said the other day, that we're going to see a calamity that the human race hasn't faced since the dinosaurs went extinct. And the American people have decided to suddenly get dumb, if you'll pardon the expression, on this issue.
Well, when you say they've suddenly decided to get dumb, what really do you believe is happening here? Is this a political statement? They don't like what the Congress is doing?
There's a combination of a lot of this, Phil. First of all, it is a basic disrespect, I think, of a man who's given his life to public service, and that is Vice President Al Gore. People don't like him because he is a very bright man, and we tend not to like people who are intelligent and know that they're intelligent and try to help us with our problems because we feel that they are There's that expression they used to use on Malcolm in the Middle, that you're not the boss of me, you know. And so, and sometimes we want to say that, you know, Al Gore, you're not the boss of me. Well, Al Gore isn't trying to be the boss of me. Al Gore is trying to be a public servant. He's trying to help a people, the American people, who have a tough time with certain equations and certain problems. He's trying to guide us through this, and we've turned around and, like a little child who wants to say you're not the boss of me, we've kicked him in the shin and told him to go, you know, go to hell, or however we say these things.
Well, yeah, but that seems so. The American people have a basic mistrust and distrust of Al Gore. He's a very political person. President Obama is a very political person. He's the president. The Congress is a very, very political body. They're the Congress. What about the scientists? What are they saying? You know,
You know what the scientists have been saying. I've been talking about global warming for the last 2 years, and when I tell people about global warming and the work that Al Gore has been doing, their eyes glaze over, and you would think that they are bored almost beyond belief. And I've got the very same materials that Vice President Gore has used, and I want to remind you, Phil, lest anyone think that Vice President Gore doesn't know what he's talking about. He did win an Academy Award. I know that that's not a scientific award.
Well, yeah, an Academy Award from Hollywood.
Well, it's not a scientific award, but it is. It's an award that they gave out to him because his movie, Inconvenient Truth, was a great movie. You don't deny it was a great movie, do you?
You know, I didn't see it. Some people make fun of it because they call it Al's slideshow.
No, I'm not interested in the childish rejoinders about. But did you see it?
I did not see it. No.
Well, I don't hardly think you could comment that on the viability of the global warming theory unless you saw Al's movie.
Well, I'm not commenting on it necessarily, Dr. Turner. I'm just saying, I agree with a lot of American people from this perspective. I don't hear the scientific debate that I want to hear. I hear movie stars, and I hear Al Gore, and I hear President Obama, and I hear the Congress. And
well, I'm a scientist. Now, that's why you have me on the program, right?
Yes, you're a scientist.
And I'm telling you that Mr. Gore's movie, The Inconvenient Truth, spells it out in black and white as clearly as you can. I worked on this problem. I was a part of the team that helped Al Gore put together his data on global warming. I've even visited him at his home, and I've met his family. So I'm about as close as you could get to Al Gore, and I know, and I'm one scientist who knows that if we don't do something about global warming, we're going to regret the day we ever decided to have children. That's number one. Do you have children, Phil?
Well, I've got stepchildren, and I don't know what that means when you say that.
You're going to regret the day that they were ever decided to be had by, you know, your wife and whoever she was married to. And I'm not, but I'm saying,
all right, okay, forget about my kids. What about people that have their own kids? You're making a pretty bold statement there.
If we don't do something about bad-made global warming, we are going to regret the day that we ever decided to have children, because our children are going to live in a wasteland that is dry, cracked earth, very little water, the heat coming from an atmosphere where the ozone layer has opened up and is allowing radiating heat and sunshine through to the point where it will burn the flesh. You've heard the horror stories.
Well, see, Dr. Turner, to me, that's all that this has been. A lot of horror stories, a lot of people saying that this horrible thing's going to happen, flooding and these, you know, bad storms. And I heard some idiot talking the other day about the forest fire. Oh, that's global warming, you know.
When you say idiot, who are you talking about?
It was somebody like some congresswoman, I don't know.
Well, which one was it? Because we've got some great people in the Congress working on this. And I think you need to be very careful, Phil, how you portray people who have worked very hard on helping, Dr. Turner, Mr. Gore. Although I will tell you that Al Gore is so well-versed in this, sometimes I slip up and call him doctor, because he has that kind of abide that one could say you might as well give him a medical degree or a scientific degree right now. That's how brilliant he is. And Al Gore and myself and others are trying to help the people through this problem. We're trying to hold the hands of the American people and baby step them through this so that they could get to the end of this tunnel that is increasingly occupied by a gasoline fire. If you wanted to give it an image, Al Gore is holding on to the American people by the hand, and the American people are a little tiny kid, and there is a gasoline fire that is flaming through the tunnel, and Al is trying to help this child through it.
And Al Gore is the American people a little kid, and Al Gore is our protector then?
By coming out with this information, absolutely.
And there is a gasoline fire at one end of the tunnel that is about to incinerate us, and he's trying to get us through it.
Well, yeah, and you sound incredulous.
I just think that your imagery there may be a bit extreme.
Well, Phil, let's put it down to the most basic thing that I can. I'm a scientist. You're not a scientist. The people that are listening to you right now are most likely not scientists. I am a scientist. If I say, as a scientist, that I have done the work, I've looked at the computer models, and I see that the human race is about to become incinerated by no less than a stream of napalm dropped from an American military jet.
And well, what does that image mean?
Well, I think it's very appropriate. I mean, global warming, much of it has been contributed to by the United States. It's almost as if the U.S. is using napalm all over again.
Well, I have very, very, very strong reservations about what you said, sir.
Mr. Henry, I'm not trying to offend anyone. I am using this image because it's very true.
Well, to say that America is trying to napalm the world all over again, I've got a very, very strong disagreement with you on that. Dr. Ron Tarner joins us, 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Tarner is commenting on how 20% fewer Americans believe that global warming is a serious threat. And he and other scientists are concerned about this, particularly in Dr. Tarner's case, because he feels that Al Gore is being disrespected by the American people, a man who's given a great deal of his time and energy to this question. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with your phone calls and more from Dr. Ron Tarner on the issue of global warming on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You brought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL on the line with me, Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. We're discussing global warming. More specifically, we're discussing the Pew Research Center for the People in the Press poll that found that only 57% of Americans believe there is strong scientific evidence that the Earth has gotten warmer over the past few decades, and as a result, people are viewing the problem as less serious. And Dr. Tarner and I have been discussing the reasons for this, and you mentioned the lack of respect for Al Gore's science.
Well, there are a lot of reasons, Phil. Another reason, quite frankly, you mentioned a poll of only 57%. That means that there's 42% of these simpletons who don't believe in global warming. And frankly, they're just the sheep, and the sheep herders are Glenn Hannity and Sean Beck. Those two have been sitting out in the pasture with the sheep and mocking the rest of us who have steers to get to market.
What is the analogy again? I
said that the people that don't believe that there's global warming are sheep, and the sheep herders are Glenn. What did I call him?
Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity?
Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity. And the rest of us who are trying to get the people to understand that global warming is serious, we are beef ranchers. We have cows. That's the analogy from the Old West.
And there's a lot of... Yeah, okay. All right.
Well, what do you mean, yeah, okay?
All right, I understand that sheep herders and cattle ranchers didn't get along. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that one was right or the other was wrong. You know?
Well, who won? Are you eating a lot of lamb these days? I don't think so.
No, I'm not. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Turner on the line. Let's go over to Quentin. Quentin, what can we do for you tonight? You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ron Turner.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hendry.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple questions for the scientists.
Right, yes, this is Dr. Turner, and how are you this evening? What is your name?
Quentin, sir.
Yes, Quentin, how are you this evening?
Not too bad. How are you doing yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay.
How is the weather where you are?
He's in Indianapolis.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm very sorry to hear that. Yeah, I'm very sorry to hear that.
It is too bad. I do want to start out just saying that I've always been mostly conservative, but I did watch a couple years ago An Inconvenient Truth, and I was taken away by the movie or documentary, whatever you want to call it. And it did intrigue me in many ways. That's my point.
If you see what Al has been able to do, these dullards, though, Quentin, who wouldn't believe the clear scientific evidence supported global warming. If you shoved it into their pants, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll start by saying. I didn't just stop my research after watching the movie. I took it a lot deeper than that. But I got a couple.
Why is that?
What do you mean?
Well, he saw what Al had done. He saw the. I don't understand. He saw the movie, right?
Right. Do you believe everything you see in the movies?
I don't. It's not like I'm going to the movies to see Raiders of the Lost Ark. I went and I saw A Convenient Truth with Al Gore, or starring Al Gore, however you want to say it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Inconvenient Truth, starring Al Gore. All right. So what do you have to say here, Quentin?
Quentin, after the movie, no further research is needed. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Let's hear what were you going to say, Quentin?
Just a couple questions. First, can you tell me what Al Gore has done within his personal life that has contributing to not polluting the environment?
Well, that question is one that is a little disrespectful. And I'm not saying you're disrespectful. That's a disrespectful question to Al. He obviously is doing everything he can. And the question is, are you? You know,
well, no, that's a fair question. What is the vice president doing?
He's doing what he said you should do. He's got the... he's living green. He rides a bike instead of driving a car. He's lessened his carbon footprint.
So he doesn't take a jet to get from here to China?
No, he doesn't take a... He went to get from here to China?
He flies coach on a commercial airline.
Well, of course he flies a jet. But you can't get from here to China without flying a jet.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
You know, okay.
All right, Quentin, I got to get going. I thank you for your call, though. That gentleman had some good questions.
That man was a little slow. I know that he agrees with Al, but he's...
I don't think he does agree with Al. I think he's saying that Al is not exactly walking the walk.
What do you mean walking the walk? What's that supposed to mean?
In other words, he's flying jets.
How do you get from here to China? Al's one jet, as opposed to all the other fools that think Al is a liar, flying their jets everywhere. Al flies one jet to China, and I don't know how else you get to China otherwise fly a jet, unless you want to stow away on a merchant ship like your Jack London or something. What a ridiculous question. I don't understand that.
Well, if the guy is saying that the carbon footprint is what it's all about, and he's flying a private jet, is he flying in a commercial jet?
He's flying in a private jet because he's a former vice president of the United States, and one of these dullards that doesn't understand global warming and is a member of the sheep family that Glenn Hannity is the sheep herder of, may try to take a shot at it. Who are we to question Al Gore and his habits? He's way above this conversation. Let's not sully his good day with accusations, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
You know, we got a lot more to talk about. I got to come back from a break.
But do you agree with me?
No, I don't agree with you. No, and I'm not going to not sully his name. I'm not going to have a lot of wild accusations, but we're going to keep talking about him. All right, we have Dr. Ron Turner on the question of why Americans don't believe in global warming as much as they used to. Coming back, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, and you can go to philhendryshow.com and see a video of the show right now. We are streaming video as well as audio, and tomorrow, if you can't get to actually watching the show, you can see us online at philhendryshow.com on demand. You can also download the audio from our show tonight at philhendryshow.com. Dr. Ron Turner joins us tonight from Mountain Meadow Observatory, one of a number of scientists who's been very heavily involved and invested in the global warming debate. And what we've been talking about is a Pew Research Center poll that says that only 57% of all Americans actually believe that global warming is a serious threat. That is down 20% after all of the education and all of the talk and all of the discourse that's gone on, down 20% from 3 years ago. And you, Dr. Turner, believe it's the result of a lot of basic disrespect of Al Gore and people who think they're smarter than they are, I guess.
Well, I'm not saying people think they're smarter than they are. I'm saying that I'm a scientist. Al has done his homework on this. And so when you've got me and you've got Al or you've got some of the other scientists who work on this, I don't get it. I don't know why people think they know better than I do when I am telling people that what's happening to the world right now is not unlike what America did to defoliate forests in the Vietnam War.
Those Vietnam-era images are, I think, highly inappropriate. Let me get over to James in Boston. James, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Not inappropriate. Henry, Dr. Turner.
Good evening, sir. Nice to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. The question I have for Dr. Turner is, if Al Gore is so smart, why won't he debate anybody?
Well, he did debate. We had a mock debate in March of last year. We had some of the most eminent scientists in the country attending it. Al debated me in a mock debate, and I took the very ludicrous position that global warming didn't exist. And I can tell you, I'm very happy to report to you, James, that he mopped the floor with me.
Okay,
I mean, he wiped the floor with me.
Correct, but you're also a believer, so you would ask questions that would be questions. Why won't he debate somebody that is not a believer in global warming?
No. You don't understand. I took the position that I took the opposite position.
He destroyed
me.
I understand that, but you're also a believer
of
it, and you've stated that. What I'm stating is, why wouldn't he debate somebody that does not agree with global warming?
I didn't agree with him. Does he understand what I'm talking about?
The gentleman's question is that...
Yeah, do you understand what I mean by mock debate?
The gentleman understands. What he's saying is that you are in real life...
Forget about real life for a minute, all right? I'm talking about a mock debate in front of a great many eminent scientists.
Mock debate is a mock debate.
What are you saying? I didn't... Oh, okay, so I sat there and let him wipe the floor, wipe his rear end with me, is what you're saying, and I didn't do that.
I didn't use the phrase wipe his rear end with you. I'm saying, did you...
You're saying I didn't try? Is that what this gentleman's saying?
No, what I'm saying is you're partisan towards it. You're in agreement with Al Gore. Why won't he debate somebody that does not agree with his views? And you're saying he's so smart that he should be able to handle that. You're saying that
Yes, but there's no point. There would be no point in it. After he... if you'll pardon the expression, but I think we're all men here. After he handed me my ass on this, I realized what was the point of putting someone through it.
Then, since we will disagree on that one.
I don't know what you disagree with.
most of our
globe
has been rebuffed, his hockey stick. And you say you study computer models. Computer models are only as good as the information that you enter.
What do you mean his hockey stick? What is that? His name is Al Gore, not Al Globe.
He said Al Gore.
I thought I heard him say Al Globe.
Nope.
And I don't know who that is. But Al Gore, the computer model is very consistent. The model that I looked at, and this was also a model that we used at NASA in Hueytown, shows a decided increase in the sea level over the last, what we do is take a quadrant section of the decade, or if you will, a 10-year period, we'll take a slab section, a quadrant or a slab section. The slab, we showed the water level of the ocean going up significantly.
What is significant?
I don't have that. What do you think? I walk around with this stuff?
No.
I think you guys are asking trick questions.
It's not a trick question. How many inches did the ocean go up?
It is a trick. I don't walk around with a filing cabinet strapped to my back.
Okay.
I don't know.
My parents live on the Cape.
All right.
My grandfather lived down there in the 50s. And my dad's been going down there since the 50s. The water level hasn't gone up down there.
Has your father been taking measurements and accurate measurements? No, I don't think he has. And with all due respect to you, I don't see how. First of all, I don't see how a man that, what is he, fish for lobster? What does that have to do with? I'm a scientist.
All right.
They live on the Cape, and you can't give me any numbers that the ocean levels have gone up.
Well, I'm having a hard time here. This is how your phone sounds. You go, but talk about that, and you. I can't understand what you're saying.
The gentleman's phone is breaking up a little bit, but basically his question and his point is very well made. James, thanks for your call, 877-876-PHIL, and that is, what are the numbers? Give us the numbers.
Give you what numbers? Al had it in the movie.
What do you mean Al had it in the movie? Al had in his movie...
And so one more thing, I don't mean to be rude, but I've met him and I've stayed at his home, okay? I've slept in a bedroom in his home. And I don't think you have, so I call him Al. You might want to call him Vice President Gore, or however you say it. But I've slept in a bed at his house that his wife, she turned it down and left pajamas for me. So I think that I have an intimate knowledge of the family that you don't have. And when I say that Al had it in his movie, I would suggest that you reference that. Now, you asked me how many inches has the water gone up over in that slab section. You talk about a slab.
I don't know what you mean by slab.
A slab section of the quadrant. That is a slab section of the 10-year period. Probably, I believe it's gone up figuring inches.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that?
It's gone up about the inches.
I didn't understand. 4 inches?
No, I didn't say four. I said inches.
Oh, your phone broke up.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of in a dead zone.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here is Rodney in Syracuse. Rodney, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Thanks for calling, sir.
You're welcome. Yeah, I got a question. All right, you know, the scientists there, all right, just because he says it does, global warming, well, there's a lot of other scientists that say that it ain't. So, you know.
Well, yeah, but they're all discredited. They're hacks and have been fully. They're working for the oil company. They're working for the oil company.
See, that's
what oil
you
companies
do. No, that's what you guys do.
Every that's what they're doing. They work for the oil company.
Will you let me talk?
I'm letting you talk. I just want you to know they work for the oil company.
Yeah, and everybody works for the coal, and they do all this and everything else. According to what you guys do, every time someone debates you or says something, they're idiots, they're sheep, they don't know nothing, but yet you guys know everything. It just because you slept at Al Gore's house don't make you Mr. Smart. It's like you didn't stay at
it doesn't. I'm just saying to Mr. Henry that I stayed at his house, and Mr. Henry should call him Vice President Gore. I call him Al. But to the point, those other scientists...
If I'm talking about somebody that in a third party, I can call him anything I want. Now, if I address him personally, yes, I'll call him Vice President Gore. But if I'm talking to him from somebody else, I'll call him Al, I'll call him Gore, or whatever I want to. That's not being disrespectful.
I'm saying that, all right, that you don't respect the science. If you call him Al, then you think he's you know, obviously I have enough respect for him and what he's doing with the carbon footprint. Now, those other scientists are Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity fans. You didn't know that, did you? Do you trust them?
I watch their shows and I watch other shows.
No. I'm saying the scientists that you're talking about are Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity fans.
Damn.
How do you know that that's the case?
It's very obvious to me.
They're not scientists. They're taco shows.
I didn't say that Sean Hannity is a scientist. I said the fans of Sean Hannity are the scientists.
Wait a minute. Are you saying, in other words, that the scientists who do not believe in global warming are Sean Hannity fans?
Yes. God almighty. How many different ways do you want me to say it?
Well, how do you know that that's a fact?
I happen to watch Keith Olbermann. That doesn't affect me.
Oh,
I watch Keith
Olbermann. Olbermann is a good one to watch. He calls everybody a name, he reflects them, and then you get on his worst list if you don't agree with him.
Keith Olbermann makes a pretty good point about different stuff, but I don't have to watch Keith Olbermann to know what to think about global warming, but the scientists that are opposed to it, they watch Glenn Beck to find out what to think.
That's a ridiculous statement to make. And I would tell you something else. I bet you those scientists would censor you at your next professional meeting for even saying something like that.
They can't censor me. They're ants. I'm a volcano, and they're ants. They can't censor Dr. Rod Tarter.
And your mock thing that you had, big deal. So what? You debated each other. You both know what you're going to say. You know what your own thinks. But you don't have people who are... have a different point of view to debate against it. It's like the other day we on news, some guy was talking to him, and he cut his mic. Okay, that's real fair debating.
Wait, you're talking about Sean Hannity? Yeah, he would do that.
It was not Sean Hannity. It was Al Gore's guy that cut the guy's mic.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that.
Gore, so how about the polar bears? And Gore asked him, well... Aren't the polar bears in danger? The guy says, well, they have doubled their population. You think about it. And then that guy questioned again. They cut the guy's mic. Now, that's a debate.
What are you talking about?
I saw that, too. And the guy and Gore wouldn't let the guy ask him any more questions.
Al doesn't have time for stupid questions when it's obvious.
It's only
that
stupid
it's
if you think
are you
it's stupid. Stupid to you may be smart to somebody else.
You don't think it's getting hotter.
Is that your scientific evidence? Is that what you want us to believe?
I'm just asking you guys straight out. You don't think it's getting hotter?
No, I don't think it's getting hotter. I think it's getting colder.
It's been very cold here in New York State.
Come on.
This is something like the fourth coldest summer since 1927 in New York State. Are you going to tell me it's getting warm?
Okay, I'm so happy you have a subscription to the Farmer's Almanac. Come on, Grandpa. What we're trying to say here...
Like, why don't you have some respect, man? You ever want anybody to respect Al Gore? Talking about the Farmer's Almanac.
Look at that. That guy was a troublemaker. He was a bull.
I'm 62 years old. And I've lived a few summers. And I've been through...
You lived with who?
Lived in a lot of places in the United States. And I've seen it warm and I've seen it cold. And I haven't seen that much difference in it.
I slept at Al Gore's house. And they were making breakfast the next day. I just want you to know, I was having breakfast the next morning with Al and with Tipsy Tipper, and she said to me, thank God that you believe Al. And I said, I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, that guy that was asking questions of Al Gore, and you mentioned him, he was a mole from Newsbusters. So that's
No, he was a filmmaker
from
Ireland.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, there's a big difference. There's a filmmaker from Ireland and a mole from Newsbusters.
That guy was a bull for the National Review.
He was asking Al Gore about what the England court said that they could not show his movie in England because it has seven major problems onto it.
Well, you know, I'll say...
The gentleman on the phone, you know what? I've got something I want to play for you. You remind me of this guy right here.
Blah, 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 blah.
There you go.
Well, that was real adult of you.
That's the way you guys do it. If you can't
debate
somebody,
are you kidding me?
You make fun of them. Make fun of them. All right, listen. Thank you very, very much for calling tonight, Rodney.
Phil,
I got to get going. I got to get going, brother. 877-876 Phil is the number here on a world famous Phil Hendry show. We'll take one more phone call here. We do have to get to the stories we couldn't get to, and This is Shane in Nashville. Shane, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you, sir?
Hey, I was just... I don't know if you hung up on the other guy or not.
Yeah, we did hang up on him.
I'm sorry?
I was just talking to my guest.
Oh, okay.
I was driving home,
and I heard the conversation on the radio and couldn't wait to get to the phone and give you a call. I just came back from Nunavut, Canada, which is above the Arctic Circle this past March. I was up there hunting.
Yeah.
I was hunting muskox, and I met some great people up there in Rankin Inlet, Nunavut, Canada. And as soon as I signed in to the first place I stayed for the night, the bed and breakfast, and I put down Tennessee, I thought I was going to have a fight on my hands. Oh, you're from Al Gore country. Oh, my God, we can't handle this. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And they said, oh, Jesus, Al has grabbed a damn polar bear, and he's hugged on to him and made him the poster child for global warming. And we have such a problem up here with the polar bears right now. It's just unbelievable. Why doesn't he bring his family and grandkids and children and everyone up here for a great outdoor adventure and let him see what the polar bears are about? Well, long story short, the warmest night was minus 45 degrees. The coldest
minus
night
45, was minus, huh? Wow.
Yeah, the coldest night.
Now, where is Shane? I want to ask you.
39.
Oh my Lord! This was up near the Arctic Circle, huh?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Nunavut, this guy says up there hunting buskox. What? I've never heard of anyone going from Tennessee to Canada to hunt buskox.
Yeah, there's a couple of us down here that have done that.
Well, let me say something. You sounded awful lot like. I think if you should say this to those people, you know what? You live up here where no one wants to live. So what do you think they're going to say? They live in a barren ice waste. They don't want any part of the human race. They're living under the hole of the ozone layer, so already their brains have been cooked well beyond recommended temperature.
No, I'm not going to agree with that statement at all.
Oh, that's ridiculous. No, that's ridiculous.
Their brains have been cooked.
Those people up there know what the Earth is all about, and they know what's going on with
they
Mother
don't even
Nature.
They've lived there for thousands of years.
Gotta respect they live on the Earth.
These are the Inuit native people, right?
The Inuit, they're not.
I thought they were white people. In that case, probably.
Oh, yeah. So, in other words, the white people.
Well, I still think their brains have been cooked because of ozone layer. And the other thing I say is that you come from Tennessee. That's good country. That's Al Gore country.
And I think you should tell them that. I'm one of the electricians that have worked at his house, and I know what's going on over there with the Ford Expeditions and Explorers and that Mustang.
How about that? 89 engine
and everything.
Yeah.
And now he's crying about global warming, yet he's got these V8 motors on the market right now and running hot rods with no emissions. So that's what she said. I'm the guy.
Don't make a joke about it, okay?
And I can talk to you about
I slept at his house. I slept at his house, and I had French toast.
Well, so what, man? This gentleman, listen,
all I'm telling
good,
you
good
is,
story,
I've been up
Shane. That's a great
Arctic Circle.
Yeah, that's a great story. Thank you very much. Dr. Turner, I thank you very much.
Who are you going to buy that? I'm hunting buskox. Oh, if that's not a hallucination induced by stiffened paint thinner, I know that those explorers were gifts. You can't turn down a gift, so thanks a lot.
Oh, you don't know that.
Yes, I do.
Dr. Ron Turner, no, he doesn't know anything.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. 877-876-PHIL, back with the stories that we couldn't get to.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Blah, 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 blah.
Phil Hendry.
And it's time for the stories we couldn't get to tonight here on the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. A pair of Air Jordan sneakers could cost the University of Central Florida millions of dollars. Michael Jordan's son, Marcus Jordan, is a member of the UCF basketball team. The university promised Jordan he could wear his father's Nike brand sneakers this season, but there's a problem. The problem is UCF has an exclusive $3 million contract that says its athletes will only wear Adidas shoes and clothing. The school said Adidas and they are in the process of negotiating a new agreement. And so like that, so I guess the Air Jordans are out, baby. In Waisu, a rural town in New Zealand, they have been forced to cancel their annual rabbit-throwing competition after complaints from, you guessed it, animal rights groups. Can't have any fun tossing rabbits anymore. In the contest, which is held each year to coincide with the start of the pig hunt, children see how far they can throw a dead rabbit, but the RSPCA said the rabbit throw sent a message to children that dead animals were fun and could legitimately be used as a form of entertainment. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. Charles Callwalader, a animal cruelty inspector, said the rabbit throw was also cruel. Do you throw your dead grandmother around for a joke at her funeral? Many of the people there said, yes, we do. And Callwalader walked out with his, quote, tail, end of quote, between his legs. The stupid, stupid Kiwi. All right, that's, I'm kidding. No, he didn't. They all were ashamed and they stopped throwing rabbits. But they are still throwing their grandmothers, dead though they would be.
They really are?
They're not. I don't know if they're throwing their dead grandmothers. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, our technical director, or view the show on demand there with our on-demand video as well as our downloadable audio and all of our archives. It's real cool. Till tomorrow morning or tonight and all that, good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.